Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, restoring the original Jesus, restoring the true understanding of what God did, to understand about the Christian Passover. Now, if those of you who are used to Judaism, to hear the word Christian and Passover sounds absolutely blasphemous, but it's not. That is the fact. Because on the Passover day, the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, died, was crucified, and he becomes our Passover. And as a matter of fact, that's what we will see later that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a Gentile church, and that because Christ, our Passover, died for us, we are to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what you're going to find as we go through the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread in the New Testament, far from the myths and lies that have been told from the pulpit, that all of these things have been done away. All of the Passover, the holy days, the Sabbath, everything has been eliminated. Christ did away with it. Well, the truth is, Christ was and is the lawgiver, not the law destroyer. And to be under grace does not give you freedom to be above the law. You are obligated to keep it in the spirit. You are obligated not to have it just written on pages or tables of stone, but in your heart and in your mind, and then with the Spirit of God to lead you. So you see how far the Christianity has left the truth of God. Yes, they have another Jesus. You know, and it started in the days of the Apostle Paul. Now, the reason that I'm going to cover this is because we want to look at the prophecies of what Jesus would go through on this gruesome Passover day to become the sacrifice for the sin of the world. But here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, there is a Satan, the devil, and he does appear as an angel of light. And he does blind the eyes of those who do not understand. And the one day that he has desecrated and blasphemed and tried to eliminate and tried to just remove from history is the day Jesus the Christ died. Because for those who are true Christians and know that he died on the Passover day, we know the validity of the Christian Passover. But you see, even in Paul's day, there were those who claimed to be the ministers of Christ who were not. Where did they come from? Well, we can answer the question partly because what happened to the multitudes that heard Jesus, who used his name to preach, who used his name to cast out demons? And Jesus said, let them alone, because if they're on our part, they can't speak evil of us. Then he said in another place that they are not of us, therefore they went out from us. And he who is not for us is against us. What a perfect, wonderful way to deceive the world and to deceive Christianity. but to take the name of Jesus and preach another Jesus and preach a different gospel. So we need to understand that what has been preached and taught from the pulpits of the Sunday-keeping churches may have elements of truth, but even a grand deception has elements of truth. So let's see what Paul was fighting here. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, "For we," that is Paul and Timothy and Titus, "we are not like the many who for their own profit are corrupting the word of God." Now, I need to bring some more sermons on how they're corrupting the word of God. They continue to do it with the new translations that are coming out. And that's why we have produced the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. Because we want the truth of God and the truth of the word. We want the true understanding of the word of God, backed up by the Spirit of truth, which then will give us the understanding of God's way. Not like this, corrupting the word of God, but we speak with sincerity as from God and before God and in Christ. Now come over here to chapter 4 and verse 1. "Therefore, having this ministry according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. But here is what is required of every single teacher and minister who professes to teach Christ. You are not to preach your thoughts. You're not to preach your ideas. You are not to preach your interpretations, because you must let the Bible interpret itself. Rather, here is what it has to be." Have you done this if you're a minister? Have you done this if you're a teacher? Do you follow the example of the Apostle Paul? Turn on your Sunday morning television and watch them. Watch the charades. Watch the lies.
You're going to sow a seed of $40 on behalf of your children.
Watch the merchandising. And you will know they're not of God. Some of them may sound very sincere, and I'm sure some are, but they're sincerely deceived. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. "For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God." And that is the foundation of Church at Home and Christian Biblical Church of God. So that you can learn the truth of God, not hindered by all the difficulties of false doctrine, not hindered by all of the pressure to be attending a Sunday-keeping church, not hindered by the interpretations of men and the traditions of men, but the manifestation of the truth. And this becomes important in understanding about the Passover and what happened on that Passover day. Because the true Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, and he loves you, and the Father loves you, and he laid down his life for you, and you need to understand how he did that and why he did that. Now notice what he says here, verse 3. "But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age," or this world, who is Satan the devil, "has blinded the minds of those who do not believe." So they're blinded. They may be well-intended, but they're blinded. You may be well-intended, but ask yourself the question, have I been blinded? Have I been deceived? Have I misunderstood the word of God? Have I assumed things to be true that are not true? Have I believed what was told from the pulpit? And why should I expect lies from the pulpit? That's why you need the Bible to prove everything and hold fast to what is good, you see? And it's central to the Passover. And it is the Christian Passover, because Jesus Christ himself, the Savior of mankind, died on the Passover day, and every action that took place on that Passover day was prophesied. And as the Lord God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ himself prophesied every single word of all of the prophecies concerning what would happen to him when he came in the flesh. But there are those out there teaching another Jesus, and they are blinded. Now notice what Paul says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what we want for you with Church at Home. We want you to understand the truth of God. We want the glory of God, as it were, through your understanding and enlightenment to come to you, so you understand what God is doing. You understand his plan. And this is through his Sabbath, Passover, and holy days, the appointed times. And you need this book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. And you'd need the companion book to go with it, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. These are absolutely necessary for you to go through your Bible and understand the truth and understand how much the Father loves you and how much Christ loves you and how much you need to learn the love of Christ and how you really can have your sins forgiven. You can really receive the Spirit of truth from God the Father to grow, to overcome, to change, so that you can enter into the kingdom of God when Jesus returns at the first resurrection. These are fantastic things, awesome things indeed, for you to understand. That's why it has to be the manifestation of truth. Not the words of men, not the stories of men, not the nice little success things, all that everything is going to be better and good, 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 when it's all falling apart and becoming worse, worse, worse. And everyone who's a teacher, a preacher, a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, read this. We do not preach our own selves. We don't preach our own ideas. That's doomed for failure. The world is full of that. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's what the whole Christian Passover is all about. Verse 6, because it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined into the hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now he says this because he wants them to know the true Jesus. He wants them to know the true way of God. He wants them to understand that there are those out there trying to bring a counterfeit Jesus, another Jesus, a different gospel. Now let's come here to 2 Corinthians 11. Because what we're going to cover after this, you've got to understand that it comes from the Word of God. And you've got to understand that it's going to have to be the truth of God. And that's what we're going to bring to you. And it, then with the Spirit of God and the truth of God, it will become a very part of your being. And you will learn to love God, and you will learn to serve God, and you will learn what is the truth, and God will be with you in everything that you do. Is that not what you want? I'm sure it is. Now come over here to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. I would that you would bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, because of these other men coming around doing what they were doing, lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's what we want you to know. That you personally, upon repentance and baptism and receiving the Spirit of God, can have a direct connection to God the Father and Jesus Christ. No minister or priest over you. Yes, when we come together, we're part of the body of Christ. And yes, we're all subject to one another and subject to Christ. And yes, when we do, then the Spirit of God is there so that we will learn, will understand from the Word of God and be taught from the Word of God. That's the whole process, see? Because God is preparing us for eternal life. But you first must have your sins forgiven. You must first understand what Jesus did. Not as it is here, because here is what was happening, verse 4. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. See, they got trapped into the position of, well, that's an interesting thought. My, what a wonderful theory that is. Maybe that's something we need to look into. What they did was they exalted human thoughts and feelings over the truth and Word of God and said, well, isn't that wonderful? And that's exactly what we have today, don't we? Don't people worship their opinions? Don't they think just because they believe it that it's right? Don't you think that just because they came up with this thought that it is something great unto itself? When it may be contrary to the Word of God. Now we need to begin to look at what Jesus really went through. Now, I have covered these things so that you may set aside a lot of the things that you have believed in the past to be true. Yes, you were sincere. Yes, you really wanted to find out about God, but how many times were you disappointed? And yes, you know a lot of sincere people in the same situation. You know, and there are many of you out there who are being accused of church hopping. Like I talked to a couple recently, they were accused of church hopping. Well, the truth was this. They said, we went to this church, we didn't hear the truth. We went to this other church, and we didn't hear the truth. And we went to another church, and we didn't hear the truth. And we went to a fourth church, and we didn't hear the truth. And we're dismayed. And then God led them to church at home. God led them to understand the truth. Now, God can do that for you, too. Now, let's see what Jesus did. Let's see what he went through because he understood every aspect of the day, the Passover day in which he would become the sacrifice, the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. So let's come here to Luke 18. He told it to the disciples. He wanted them to know. Now, of course, the traditional thought was that the Messiah would come and take over the kingdom that was there in Judah. And this is why the scribes and Pharisees rejected Jesus, because he didn't join them politically, because they didn't search the scriptures for the truth. Verse 31, and after taking the 12 aside to himself, he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written about the Son of Man by the prophets shall be fulfilled. And he prophesied, as the Lord God of the Old Testament, every one of those things. He shall be delivered up to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and insulted and spit upon. And after scourging him, they shall kill him, but on the third day he shall rise again. And notice the disciples' reaction. They didn't say, oh, yes, Lord, we remember reading that. No. Verse 34, but they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend what was said. Now let's see what Jesus also said concerning it. He had a baptism to be baptized with. And this, he knew what it was going to be. He knew what he was going to go through. And we will begin looking at some of these prophecies. And it's going to become absolutely astounding that every one of these things that took place was prophesied ahead of time. And as a matter of fact, in the book, the day Jesus Christ died, you will find there were 28 prophecies fulfilled on that one day of the experiences that Jesus would go through. Now come here to Luke, the 12th chapter. Here's what Jesus told them. He says, "For I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how burdened I am until it be accomplished." Yes, and he would be burdened. It would be difficult. It would be hard to take. And he said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. No, I tell you, but rather division." The greatest thing to happen upset the whole world. And the Jews could not take it. They could not handle it. And it was going to be so awesome and so gruesome, as we will see. We will finish by going to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And let's see that this day was a great burden upon Christ. And remember, he was God manifested in the flesh, and he was subject that he could sin. So therefore, this was even a greater burden. It was even more gruesome than we could even imagine, or that Mel Gibson could have done with his movie, The Passion of the Christ. So we come to Luke 22, and we see where Jesus prayed. Verse 41, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and falling on his knees, he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing to take away this cup from me," because all the pulls of human nature were there. All the fear and trepidation could have been there. And he knew, because he prophesied everything, every movement, every pain, every stripe, every beating, every fist, every spitting, every pulling upon his beard. But notice, because he willingly laid down his life, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Is that what you want in your life? See, we all have to come to the point that we want the will of God in our lives, not our will, and then we run to God and say, "Oh, by the way, God, would you bless this that I'm doing?" No, it doesn't work that way. We come to God with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, tremble at his word, repenting of our sins, repenting of the way that we have lived, repenting of our thoughts, repenting of the fact that our sins had personal consequences in the death of Jesus Christ, and that all the beating that he took upon himself, and the scourging, and the spear thrust into his side, and the nailing of his hands and his feet was because of our sins personally and collectively for the whole world. And it says, after an angel strengthened him, verse 44, "And being in agony," because he knew what it was, "he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down to the ground," because he knew. It says there in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, that he cried out with strong cryings and tears to him who was able to save him from death. He could not once react in a carnal way. He could not once seek vengeance against those who were coming against him with all the judgment and beating and stripes and lacerations that he took upon himself. He could not once talk back because he was reviled, because he had to be without sin, and he had to choose that constantly under the most aggravating, difficult circumstances in the history of the world. So this is what God the Father and Jesus Christ have done, because they love you. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and send for these books. Be sure and get the appointed times of Jesus the Messiah and the day Jesus the Christ died. So till next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.